Turn to your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs number 25. Proverbs chapter number 25. I'm going to ask you to stay awake today. I know it feels nice and comfortable, sleeping weather, sleeping type, at least for my kids. Maybe you guys are used to the nice heat in the dorms. It might be too hot. But we like I like heat. There's just not a lot at my house. Some good singing, too. I enjoyed the singing. That was really good. Yeah. You guys ought to sing like... I didn't hear nothing coming from over here, though. That's good, though. That's good. We don't mind that. We really don't mind that, but... it's good to be here today. It's good to be in God's house, and not just because we're in chapel. It's like Mr. Armacost just said. You're in a good place. You're in a good place. And I know as you're going through it, a lot of times you're in the middle of the battle. You don't realize it sometimes. Sometimes when we're going through it and things of that nature, you don't realize the blessings that we have of just being here. But you take time. I mean, it's just as you're walking down the hallway. And I hope you do this. But as you walk down the hallway, just tell God thank you. Just tell him thank you. You don't have to get on your hands and knees in the middle of the hallway and lift up your hands and do one of these numbers. But just as you're walking down the hallway, just tell God thank you. I'll stop there because that's... another thought in another sermon that I have, but just be thankful for what God has for you. Be thankful because God is good. God is truly good in the midst of this bad world. God is good. Proverbs chapter 25. Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for God, just another time we can come and hear your word. Father, we pray, God, once again that you would meet with us. Father, it would be a waste of time, Father, if we had this hour time, Father, and it was just in vain, and God, you didn't speak to our hearts. And Father, I pray that you would use your word, use me, God, to speak to hearts. And I pray, Father, that we would go out of here better Christians than what we came in. God, just taking some thought and applying it to our lives. God, so please again meet with us in Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 4. Proverbs 25, verse number 4. The Bible says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Today, the title of my sermon is Clean It Up. Clean It Up. Webster's dictionary gives us a definition for dross. It's a scum on a metal. It's something that's worthless. We know that the jewelers and people that take care of fine metals, when they're refining those metals, they go through a process of putting heat to the metal. And when they put that heat to the metal, something comes to the top. The dross, the scum. And the Bible says if we take away that dross, there'll come forth a vessel for the finer. We can understand that. And so it is in our Christian lives. So it is in our Christian lives. As you sit in chapel, as you just heard Mr. Armacost say, as you sit in chapel, as you sit in the church services, and God speaks to your heart, God works on your heart, and that dross starts to come to the surface. That dross starts to come up. Deal with it. Deal with it. So many Christians' lives have a lot of dross upon it. I think if we look in the Bible, we see that Peter is a good example of a Christian that had dross upon him. We know the story. Jesus told Peter, he said, before the cock crows thrice, you're going to deny me. Or before the cock crows, you're going to deny me. Thrice, he said. You know the story. It's a real sad story. Peter got put under the fire. And he started denying Christ, and he denied him one time, and then he denied him twice, and then he denied him the third time. And all of this could have been avoided But the Bible says when Peter, after he denied him the third time, the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. That's a bad state to be in. When your sin brings you so low, when your sin brings you to the place where you just go out and weep bitterly. I know some think that we are above this. Some think that we are immune from this type of weeping. We're immune to this type of a beating, if you will, because of where we are and who you are. But the Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. If you mess with sin, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. Some have loved ones that aren't saved because of the dross. Some can't pay their bills because of the dross. Some, they don't understand why they can't find God's will. As if it's a secret, as if God's hiding his will from your life. And the reason may be the dross. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 81. Psalms, chapter number 81. I'll just look at a couple of verses. To show you this point. Psalms 81. And verse number 10. The Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But look at Psalm 66. I know you know these verses. Psalm chapter 66. And verse number 18. Jesus says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard it in my heart. So in one verse we have Jesus says, open your mouth, and he says, I'll fill it. And then on the other hand, he says, if you regard that iniquity in your heart, he won't hear you. And that word regard, as I look at it, it simply says, I don't plan on not sinning. I don't plan on stopping my sin. And sometimes we may get on, something may convict us, and you may get on your hands and knees, and you may pray. And as you're praying, you're not really serious about getting rid of that sin that's easily besetting you. You're regarding that iniquity in your heart, and you don't plan on getting rid of it. There could be a list of sins. We don't have to name sins. But you just don't plan on getting rid of it. You just plan on keeping it. And sometimes you get on your hands and knees and you pray. And it may be an earnest prayer. But God doesn't hear. Because you get up. And an hour later. A day. You're back doing the same thing. I don't plan on stopping this sin. I plan on doing it over and over and over. Now, I know we are sitting in here, we got our shirts and ties on, and we're kind of dignified. But that's the fact. You know what our problem is? You're not going to stop it. And you don't plan on stopping it. You're going to keep doing it over and over and over. Now we have a problem. God says on one hand, open your mouth and I'll fill it. Open it wide and I'll fill it. So we know he wants to fill it. He doesn't lie, correct? We know he wants to fill it. Then why doesn't he answer my prayers? Why doesn't he fill my mouth? Why doesn't he do that to me? There's a problem here. I just have to open my mouth, he says, and he'll fill it. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, he says, he will not hear me. When I went to school, I went to school with a kid named Gary Perall. Gary was, I forget where he was from, Philadelphia, I think. I'm not sure where. But he worked at a restaurant in Portage. And every night he would ride his motorcycle to work. And he was dating a girl whose parents were coming to church here, a good girl. Good girl. But one afternoon, at the back door, back there, well, the doors are gone, but at the end of the hallway down there, Gary said to me, is when it was the dorm back there, he said, Todd, I know I'm not supposed to be dating this girl. Why don't you stop? I like her. But you know you're not supposed to. Why don't you stop? I like her. He had no plan on doing what was right. One morning he was riding his bike to work, coming home from work. Or going, I don't remember what. But I do remember this. He was at that intersection off of Willow Creek in 94. And he took a turn to the left. And while he was taking that turn, a truck came, killed him, scattered his body on the highway. They said they woke his girlfriend up. When they woke her up, she said, and they told her, they said, Gary's dead. And she said, God killed him. God killed him. Never planned on stop sinning. He never planned on doing right. Never planned on dealing with the dross. And the dross overcame him. Are we any different? Are we any different? Is there a special, you know, box on your head and God has checked it for you? Do you have, I'm special. Is that, you know, like around your forehead? Don't you see? That's dross. Let's get into some points. And hopefully this will be an encouragement to you. First of all, I want to talk about the dross of not giving your all. A dross of not giving our all. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy... Everybody knows that verse. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of you. Right? Is that what it says? Do all to the glory of who? Do all to the glory of God. Give your all in your church ministries. Give your all in your classes. You say, why? Because that's what God told you to do. Give your all. You know, it's encouraging to me when I'm with, and I'm not saying, you know, these people are giving their all, but it's encouraging. Something's happening. When I go visiting with one of my workers, and I knock on the door, and, you know, whoever comes to the door opens the door, some kids come to the door, and I'm standing with this knucklehead worker, right, Josh? I'm standing with this knucklehead worker, and the kids say, hi, Mr. Josh. It's happened with James all the time, and Mr. Sam, it happens. Hi, Mr. Sam. Hey. I love it. I love it when a worker comes and hands us some tokens and you can tell that they spent some time on them. I love it when some workers can get up on the bus and tell a story and you can tell that they spent time on it. I love it when a worker can get up with a game and this game is a good game, and they're playing the game. You could tell that they spent time on it. It's fun when you have a worker, and I know this may not happen on any of your buses, but sometimes our buses don't go according to the schedule, and we don't keep, you know, the schedule. Something happens, and, you know, Betty was supposed to tell a story, but Betty's gone, and I didn't, you know, just things are happening. And then the question is, who has the story? I know it's just me. Okay, who else? Anybody else? Am I the only bus? Okay, see, I told you. Who has the story? Well, yeah, she has a story. Or I put that person in a car to go somewhere, and they had the story. We're just doing one of these numbers. But isn't it fun when one of the workers say, I have a story. I have a story. I've had workers. Who has a story? Why don't you learn to give your all? This is God's place. I know some of us would say, this is not our church. This is not our church. And it's God's. And God told you to do everything to the glory of God. God told you to work hard. I know I'm talking about the bus ministry, but this can go to all of our ministries. All of our ministries. There ought to be someone. This is what I tell my guys. There ought to be someone that you are trying to work with. I thank God. I think of some of the old workers that we used to have, that I had growing up. Mr. Paul and Mr. Aaron and these guys working on. Some of them were jokers too. You know, some of them were jokers. But some of them were just good guys. Hey, Mr. Simpson, I need a ride to bus meeting on Saturday mornings. Okay, Todd, I'll be there to get you. Hey, Mr. Simpson, I need a ride to teen Sunday school. Or not teen Sunday school, but teen visitation. I'll be there to get you. You know, I don't remember a time. Maybe there was, but I don't remember a time that those workers said, I don't have time for you. I don't have time for you. We need to give her all. We are affecting lives. And you know what? We all know that it's hard work. The ministry is hard work. It's hard. I got a kid on my bus. He weighs about 300 pounds. What's his name, Jenny? Russell. And he's a shepherd. And he gets on the bus. We were passing out some Cheez-Its. And he gets on the bus, steps up on the bus, and the first thing he says is, I want some Cheez-Its. I want some Cheez-Its. And the way to keep Russell happy is to keep funneling. It's hard. I had a kid a couple weeks ago. Little boy just started throwing up. I'm not messing with him. No. That's sick. You know, I don't want the dross to overcome me. So I look at them and say, you know what? I can't clean that up. And I just thought of this, but I cleaned that up. You know how many times he did it? What, three times, Jenny? Three times. And it was... it was not nice. It's hard work. The ministry is hard work. But sometimes we let this dross, this sin, it just overcomes us. And you know what? I just don't want to deal with it. God's not going to bless you. Give your all. Don't be afraid to give your all. Don't be afraid to jump in and just be a part of it. Want to be a part of some of these, you girls, want to be a part of some of these girls' lives. We got some good girls coming to church, TNT and such. Some good girls that need some good role models. They don't have it. It's a sin. I mean, what they're going to, it's unbelievable what they're dealing with. It's unbelievable. Try to be an example to them. Number two, the dross of not putting God first. The dross of not putting God first. We know the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If I were to ask you, if you're having your devotions, what would your answer be? I have kids in here. At some point in time, you got to seek God first. You got to seek him first. And you got to seek him first because you need him first. You got to seek him first because you really, really do need him. And mama can't tell you to seek him first. And daddy can't tell you to seek him first. We put you in the right places. We put you in the right atmosphere. We put the right people around you. We put you in the right school. But listen to me. Because of all of that, you still have to have your devotions. And if you didn't have them, it ought to bug you. It ought to bug you. If you didn't have them today, if you're not being bugged in your spirit, something is wrong. The dross is overtaking you. If you're sitting here and it was just superficial, it didn't mean anything, the dross is overtaking you. And you're heading out toward Peter land where you're going to weep bitterly. Go to counseling, we get good counsel. But you walk out of that office not intending to do what you were just counseled to do. God wants to answer our prayers. But we have to learn to put God first. But as I look at it, our problem a lot of times is we're so used to the Christian life. We're so used to this Christian life. We're spoiled people, just like the children of Israel. We're spoiled. We're spoiled. Best thing you can do, if you know this, best thing you can do is to give. Best thing you can do is to give. You're spoiled. Find someone to give something to. And give something to them that means something, not something that you don't want. Give something to them that is going to help them. There's some guys doing Bible studies for our kids on the bus. So say, just do a Bible study. Just make some Bible studies up and give them to kids. Is it too hard? And then follow up with it. Five questions. Does Jesus love you? Where does it say it? John 3:16. Write it down. Something really simple. Say, what are you doing? I'm just giving. I'm giving. I had some extra verses. This just is some examples. Some verses, extra verses in my pocket. And what am I going to do with these? I just took them out. I had an ink pen. I just started writing treat. Treat. And I started handing them out as the kids were getting off the bus. Treat. You bring this back next week, I'm going to give you a treat. Completely gone. Completely gone. Treat. treat. Yesterday, one of the kids, not yesterday, Sunday, one of the kids, hey, Mr. Todd. Oh, yeah. And we took care of him. Give. You're learning to put God first by not putting yourself first. We have the best preaching. We have the best of everything. But sometimes we just don't get it because of the dross. And then number three, the dross of not being a soul winner. The dross of not being a soul winner. We know what Matthew 28, 19, and 20 says. That we're supposed to go. Now, we know, okay, we know. And Miss, I don't want to, you know, take this as, you know, a emotional type thing. I don't. But there ought to be a little fire burning in each and every one of our hearts to just pass out a tract sometimes. To just pass out a tract. It's a shame some of you haven't passed out a tract in a long time. You haven't taken a tract and just given it to you girls haven't given it to a lady at the store or lady walking. You just haven't given them a tract, and it's so far from our mind sometimes. We think of friend day. I got a problem. I can't ask any of my coworkers to come to church. I think they're all saved. I don't know about Mr. Schreiber, though, the other dad. I was wondering. Well, I got an excuse. I don't have to ask any of my coworkers to come to friend day. All of my neighbors, you say, they all come to church. I can't ask any of my neighbors. Sir, is there no one that we are burdened about? Is there no one? God wants us to be soul winners. And I know sometimes it seems so hard, doesn't it? When the Holy Spirit just simply says, give them a track. Isn't that the hardest? I mean, maybe not for some of you. But sometimes that's like Holy Spirit says, give them a track. And you're like, how many know what I'm talking about? Okay. All right. Because you guys are looking at me like Mr. Wright has, you know, a spiritual problem. There ought to be a fire burning. There ought to be a fire burning. You ought not be sitting here regarding iniquity in your heart. You ought not be sitting here regarding iniquity in your heart. There's results of taking care of the dross. You look at Peter at Pentecost. Peter got that dross taken care of, didn't he? He got that dross taken care of. A physician said, he said, I wish every cancer would start off with excruciating pain. Every cancer would start off just unbelievable pain. We say we wish sin would start off with unbelievable pain. But isn't sin like cancer? The end is the devastating part, isn't it? The end. But God can change us. God wants to change us. God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to see you paying your bills. God wants to see you, your needs met day by day. And that's a blessing. When God sees you and me, when that dross comes to the surface, when it starts to come to the surface, we do away from that dross. We do away with that dross. You know what we say? I'm not going back. I'm not going back. You know what God is going to give you? God is going to give you a wonderful Christian life. You think it's wonderful now? Mm-mm. Wait till you're in the middle of your ministries and you're serving and you have bratty kids. God wants to give you a wonderful life. God has given us a wonderful life. And I'm so glad about it. And one of the reasons is so that dross has come up. You know what we do? We get on our hands and knees and we say, God, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. You have to be determined to not go back. And like I said, with putting God first with those devotions, I'm going to have them. And they're going to be real. They're going to be special. And if I don't have them, it's going to be taken care of. You watch out for that person. God's going to bless them. You may not see it. It may not be in the realm of the lights and the glitter where everybody can see it, but God's going to bless them. He's going to bless them just because they're getting right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this time that we've had together. God, we do know that you want us to take care of the dross in our lives. And God, help us not to want to regard our iniquity in our hearts, but help us to want to get it cleaned up. Father, help us, God, to want it to be our lives to be cleaned up. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for just wanting, God, our relationships with you to be right. God, as we give this invitation, I pray that you would bless. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to stand at your seat. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you know the business that you need to do with God. You know it. You know the dross. As the instruments play, if God is dealing with your heart, you come.